Okay, now we're good. This is Build a Better Business Mastermind. And we are in month two of going through all the ways to build a better business. Last month, we talked about our VPS. What is your overarching promise to your clients? And once you kind of orchestrate that, but no, you almost have to go through the whole thing, the whole series first before you really get a good feel for what you want that promise to be. So we're always tweaking it. And I know I've tweaked mine. I always get too technical at the beginning and then I simplify it because when I'm out in a social environment or out in any type of an environment like that, people go, what is passive income? I don't even know what you're talking about. And so I try to just make it. I go, you know, it's how to make money without punching a time clock. And then they're like, oh, tell me more, you know? So I've just really shortened it up so that folks, you know, to catch their attention. But then once you get started and you kind of know there's Debbie back again, once you go through the whole series of creating your VPS, why your storytelling is your marketing, why your serving is your selling, and then you build your whole website, which we've all watched each other, you know, build our websites over the last year or so, and you get all your offers in place, and then you finally get back around to marketing. And you're going to get on social media and you're going to start blogging and you're going to start podcasting and you're going to start speaking gigs. The thing that you're always going to fall back on, the cornerstone, 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 cornerstone of your business is your story. Don't forget your story. And I keep trying to tell one of the other gals, and she's not in this particular group, but I keep trying to tell her as she's posting, she's doing an okay job. She's not getting the sales that she wants because she's never including her story. She always puts out across social media what she's selling. Like this month's special, here are, you know, she does essential oils. So she's like, this month's special, these oils, get two for one, get, you know, and it's like an ad from a department store. And I told her, I said, you're going to get more mileage if you could weave your story into your post. If you could say, you know, my family was really struggling with the flu and, you know, and after some research discovered that, you know, there are some oils that can really help, you know, with your immune system and help build your immune system. And by the way, you know, I did this for my family and we feel so much better. And by the way, some of those oils are on special this month. So you can see the difference on buy these three oils, they're on sale, or telling the story about how my family was sick and these oils really helped us out. And now we're feeling much better. And by the way, they're on sale this month. You can see where telling the story would sell the oils so much better than just posting this sale. And I haven't convinced her to do it yet. And she's not in this course. So she doesn't really see the value in that. She doesn't realize that her social media would start to turn into a profit if she would just start weaving in her story. So don't forget, even if it's a sentence or two, don't forget to weave in your story. And so one of the ways to weave in your story is to complete what we call the hero's journey. And the hero's journey is where you start off in a struggle, you know, like here's where I was. And I've used this phrase all the time. It's the Walt Disney movie theory, you know, once upon a time. But then this happened and now we can live happily ever after, you know. So it's the Walt Disney movie theory. And it's the same way to write your story. You know, once upon a time, here's where I was. But then I discovered this thing, this product, this service, it's whatever it is that you're doing and how it changed my life. And now I want to share it with you. And so what happens is you start off with the struggle, you have an aha moment, and now you turn into the guide. You are no longer the hero of your story, you are the guide. You started off trying to be the hero of your story, of your life, because you were struggling, 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 struggling. But then you discovered something, whatever that something is. And then you segued into becoming the guide because now you want to help other folks not have that same struggle. Now that's oversimplified, but that is basically what the hero's journey is. Now, to make it even more interesting, How many of us watch Hallmark movies? Yeah, we got all girls on the call. Yeah. Okay. You ever notice how here's the girl meets the boy, you know, and right when you think it's going to work out, there's a big conflict to where all hope is lost. And then it works out and they live happily ever after. So when you're writing your hero's journey, instead of just going, I was struggling, and then I discovered this wonderful thing, and now I'm helping you. Well, you want to have, and then I found this wonderful thing, but then it almost didn't work. It put the conflict in there. It almost didn't work because then my struggle really, I really had a crossroads that I had to make a decision, but then it worked. And now I want to be your guide so that you don't have to go through those struggles. So you just put that extra little kick in there. Now, I haven't pulled mine up, and I'm going to have Sherry share hers as well, but I'm going to pull mine up here real quick. So bear with me. I put mine also right on my website. Takes me a minute to pull it up here. If you go to my little work with me page, this is work with me and about me is the same thing. So this is my work with me page. So I start off with, you know, my little graphic there and ways that we can work together. But here is how I start my hero's journey. I found my solution and I can help you find yours. You see my heading? I found my solution and I can help you find yours. And then I start off. Let me tell you a quick story. Once upon a time, that's my once upon a time story. I was a single mom living payday to payday, had no means to save toward retirement, but then something happened. Here was my first little teeny aha moment. My mom sat me down and had a talk with me about getting on with it, meaning make more money. So I talk about going to cosmetology school. And at the time I had no idea the impact that this would have. The problem was, see, here's my struggle. I was working full-time and now part-time. I had no time for my daughter. I was just racing from one job to another. I'm going down the rabbit hole just when things couldn't get any worse. Now the salon I had signed on with decided to close. My corporate position was changing into a mandatory bachelor's degree, which I didn't have. And so now I was on the downward slide. You see, I'm starting to show them the struggle. The owners of the nail salon decided it was too much work. They decided to close. And the new big corporate guy wanted us to all have bachelor degrees. So needless to say, I felt panicked. How could I support myself? That's truly when I hit rock bottom. You see my struggle. I showed up for work and the salon was closed. And my mandatory 50-hour work week on my day job was not enough for the new owners. So that meant I panicked and I started looking for yet a third job. So do you think any of my readers can identify with that out there financially? And so that's right then when my dad was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, which we all know pancreatic cancer is almost always terminal. So my mom was also watching my ADHD daughter while I was trying to figure out what to do. So that's when I decided. And so here's my aha moment. I needed to go full-time as a nail tech since the income was better than my corporate job. And then something happened that changed everything. I'd found a new salon. I realized how those owners were doing it. And that was the spark I needed. I was scared, but optimistic that I could have my own salon. So I knew I was on the right path. And then here's what happened next. I learned everything I could. See, I put in the work. I learned everything I could about the nail salon and about the salon industry. I made two additional mortgage payments to pay off my building earlier. And then one day I looked up and I realized that I now could buy more salon buildings, have more salons, and I was forever changed by the fact that I now had passive income and the freedom to live the lifestyle I always wanted. I now saw myself, and you see, I saw myself differently at that point. I saw myself as in control, confident, a good provider for the first time ever. I won a couple of awards, and that's why I knew I couldn't stop there. And now I wanted to teach other folks to do what I'm doing. So now I am, and that's where I put in my business. I'm focusing on creating a step-by-step process for others to discover, and I'm able to help individuals and entrepreneurs like you. And this makes me feel like there's so much more to do. I'm just getting started. And what I'd like you to take away is no matter how tough things are, keep going, never stop learning, simply start to find your next best step. So you see how I just took them on that journey, all the way around that hero's journey. Now, for you on this call, feel free to go to my website. I'm going to go right to the top of the page again. feel free to go up here to the Kathy Benner Work With Me, okay, right here. Click into that. And when you scroll down, I even left the prompts. You see where these prompts, this little short sentence at the beginning of each, use those prompts and fill in your own answers. Okay, use those prompts and fill in your own answers. That will take you right around that hero's journey. This is a perfect template. Now, Ruth did it, and she's in this group, but she's not on the call today. She had a doctor's appointment, but she actually took my prompts and she even adjusted the prompts a little bit, but she got the gist of that hero's journey all the way around. So anyway, that's what I want to share. KathyBenner.com, work with me. Click on the work with me in the actual menu and feel free to share your hero's journey by using those prompts. So that's your story. So here's what I want to tell you. Once you have your story, and I just hit the high points on mine because you've all heard it 100 times. But now if I'm talking to a group of cosmetologists, I'm going to start telling my story, but I'm going to spend more time in the cosmetology portion of my story. Are you with me? Because the audience is all cosmetologists. And I'm going to spend the time and get down in the weeds with something that they're going to identify with. Like, oh, I remember searching for a salon and I wanted one that, you know, was not a commission salon. I didn't want an employee salon. I wanted a booth rent salon. And they're all going to understand those terms because they're also in the cosmetology industry. But if I'm talking to a group of real estate folks, I'm going to concentrate more on the real estate portion of my story. And I'm going to talk about how I struggled to get my first, you know, when we, at the beginning of this call, we were talking about funding for real estate before we started recording. I'm going to spend more time talking about real estate if my audience is real estate. You see where I'm going with that? And if I'm just at a chamber of commerce where it's just a bunch of business owners and it's all different business owners, then I'm going to talk at large about how I launched my online business to help folks do this. You know, I'm going to talk about the struggles of having your own business and being a business owner. But again, that's my story. So my point is that once you craft your story, you can use it like an accordion. If somebody wants you to do a 10-minute version, like how long did it take me to go through that? I probably spent, 4 or 5 minutes just going through my story. If somebody wants me to do a 20-minute version, I can do a 20-minute version. If they need me to speak for half an hour, I can do a half hour. If they want me to do an hour, I can do a whole hour because I can simply add more details into each step of my story. You know, like if I'm talking to, a group, let's say that has, connected to hospice, I can spend a lot of time of my story about how my dad was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and how it was important for me to figure out how I could financially support myself and help support my mom and my dad going through illnesses. And so for some of you that know that I even created a healthcare agency while my mom was sick and Mark's dad was sick, and we cared for two parents on the same hospice team for 3 years. And I created a whole healthcare agency because I didn't have the funds to pay $40, $50, $60 an hour for some other agency to bring aides in when I knew the aides were only making $10 to $15 an hour. And I thought, well, why can't I start an agency and just spend $10 to $15 an hour instead of $40 to $60 an hour? And that's what I did. And so, oh, we've got Elise coming on. Yes. So anyway, the point is that you can take your hero's journey once you have your story in writing, and you can focus on any part of it at any time. And so one of the things that I do right now, which kind of sets me apart from a lot of speakers, is that I can tell all of these organizations that I'm in, if you have a no-show, call me. You know why? I don't have to write a speech. I can be in their back pocket all the time. I never have to write a speech. Anytime they have a no-show, they go, Kathy, we need somebody to talk about blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? I can take about any part of my hero's journey and fit about any topic. So let's just do a little exercise. Debbie, let's say that you needed somebody last minute on your fireside chat with Debbie Marks, and you would want me to talk about something. Mention a topic that you'd want me to talk about.
you're making the decision to stop doing nails.
Okay. So you see, with my hero's journey, I can start at the beginning about being a single mom and struggling. Because, yeah, you have to set the stage on how I struggled financially, blah, blah, blah. And then how I finally, my aha moment was to get into the nail salon. Well, then, you know, people might say, well, then why in the world did you quit? You know, if that was your solution, why did you quit? So I could talk all about my health at that point. Because after 25 years, and again, you didn't read this there in my work with me, but the part that I could expand on in a topic like this with Debbie is that I could talk about how I started having problems with my shoulder and my elbow, and the doctor was talking about all these different surgeries and how I really struggled because I did love the business, but I knew that I needed to do something different for my health, and how I actually had to hire a coach to help me with that. Because even though I'm pretty strong-minded and I'm relatively a fast decision maker, I struggled because I'd worked so darn hard for 25 years to build up this whole salon, you know, five salons and all, you know, I was supporting a lot of families out of those five salons. I had 12 girls in one. I had, you know, like five or six girls in another. These girls were all supporting their families. And I couldn't just go up one day and board up the buildings. You know, I had to really make some tough choices and how I was going to do this effectively and not harm anyone's finances along the way, including my own. And so that's a huge conversation. And you can see where Debbie and I could talk about that for her entire program, just why I decided to leave the salon industry and how I did it. And so, see, it's just a part of my story, and I don't have to prepare for it. I don't have to sit down and write out a speech and try to look at notes. It's just my story. You see how easy it is when your story is your cornerstone, which then segues right into, I was concerned about income. I didn't want to leave the money. That was part of it too. And so that's why I decided to start the online academy. And then as I played out with the online academy, realized that having a membership site was the way to go, and how I, you know, launched my membership site. And then at the end of the call, I can say, by the way, here's how to connect with me and join the membership site and get involved in any of my courses. And so you can see where it's a perfect segue. And all I did was talk about my story. And your storytelling is your marketing. And that's why we're mentioning it early in our series. You would think we would come up with it at the end of the series when we start talking about marketing. But you have to have your story as your cornerstone, because it's how you're going to set up your website and all of your offers. Mm-hmm. And that's why the story comes first, and the website and offers come second. And then when it's time to market your business, the story is already there. It's in there. It's Prego. It's already in there. All you have to do now is create your social media post, your LinkedIn post, whatever you're posting, but don't forget to include snippets of your story. Okay, Estella, let's say that you needed me to speak for you and you had a topic. What? Let's just say you're doing a podcast on legal issues and you want me to come on board. And you say, Kathy, I'm going to interview you, but it has to be something about legal issues because that's my lane. And if you're going to be on my podcast, you have to talk about legal issues. I could talk all about zoning and legal issues with zoning, because I ran into zoning issues opening salons, and I ran into zoning issues with opening the bed and breakfast. I ran into zoning issues with having midterm rentals. And so I could talk about, and again, it's my story. So I could start off by saying, I was a single mom. See, I'm not changing the story. I'm just going to embellish the part that fits her topic. And, you know, and I was a single mom and decided to go to cosmetology school. And then I decided to open a salon. And oh my, did we hit a brick wall when we started to open a salon? We had no idea what change of use meant. We had no idea that we had to put in parking lots. We had no idea of all the permits. We had no idea there was a historical committee that had to give us a certificate of appropriateness before we could even go to zoning to get our building permits. And so it's all about all of these legal issues. So you can see where, as long as I have my story, now you'll notice when we just now went through the story on my website, I didn't talk all about that. I just said, I bought a building and opened a salon. So you're thinking, that was easy. Well, depending on where I'm speaking, like if I were on a podcast with Estella about legal issues, that's kind of where I would stop. That's what I would expand on. And then she would, at the end of the podcast, say, you know, well, what are you doing now? And how could folks contact you? I could go right on, you know, we've got the whole Happy House Hunters, and that's what we talk about. We teach folks how to get through those legal issues. But there are times that they do need an attorney, and that's where Estella's products come in. So you can see where it's a win-win, where I get to promote what I'm doing, but I also get to promote what she's doing. Does that make sense? And I didn't have to write it. It's my story. Does that make sense? All right. Comments, questions, and welcome, Elise. We see that you're on. Can we see your beautiful face today, or are you hiding behind the camera?
It was a quick lunch, so I was going to eat and then hop on camera.
I get it. Yeah, Elise was with us this morning on the Clubhouse. So anyway, comments or questions, and then I'm going to let Sherry share her hero's journey. Any comments or questions so far?
Well, it makes sense. What I heard was that even though it may be something short, that something that you're writing about, it could just be a little snippet of your story, just to bring people in. So it doesn't have to be the whole story. I like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like the girl that I was sharing that has the essential oils. If she would just put in there how she uses this oil or how it made a difference in her life before she puts by now, you know, if she just had a sentence or two of her story, it would convert so much better. And when I finally added my story to my website, my conversion ratio went up because people felt that they could connect more with me. And it wasn't just a billboard saying, buy this. If that makes sense. All right, Sherry, we're going to let you share and you get to see how it's done. Sherry did a great job with her hero's journey.
Well, thank you. I'm actually going to practice something.
Okay.
Directly on my website, because I wrote this a day or so ago. And I am going to be speaking to a very large group of people, and I've been really problem solving how to do my introduction. And so this might not be my entire hero's journey, but this is my introduction to my speech that I'm going to share. And I'm hitting my timer to find out how long I'm actually speaking here too, so I can explain then the rest of the hero's journey after my intro. So here we go.
Perfect.
Practicing time. Sitting alongside my bed, the tears were flowing so much that I couldn't see. I couldn't see across the room. I couldn't see how I was going to live through it. I couldn't imagine my dream of standing in front of you right now. Heck, I had no idea why I even had the dream. I was alone, broke, my marriage was failing, the debts were imploding around us. My career, well, that was getting to the point of being non-existent. I was starting to have health concerns. November 15th, 2013, I vowed I was going to change my world. You see, I felt worthless. I had no confidence. I admired women with courage, yet I had no idea how to find out any for myself. Just like God does, He put someone in our world that began an avalanche to facilitate that change. His name was Carrie Oberbrunner. This ad popped up on my Facebook feed that said, "How would you like to write a book?" My heart stirred. Can I create 18 streams of income from one book? Yeah, right. Yet I registered and I listened. Again, my heart stirred. How can a worthless woman failing in health, wealth, and relationships write a book? That morning, as I was sobbing, I was sobbing because I realized I was worthy. I had enough courage to build my own confidence and competence. That morning, I vowed to change my world, but I had no idea how. I had no idea what that would look like or even why. I knew that God was calling me for something great. I answered and said, "Here I am, send me," just like Isaiah 6:8. Let me back up several years. I attended a women's conference in a huge arena. The place was packed. The speaker was talking about lessons that she learned from drinking coffee. When suddenly I heard this male voice amongst all of these women say, "I'm looking forward to seeing you up there." I'm not sure what happened next, but the women around me were asking me if I was all right and said, "I looked like a ghost." God planted a seed in my heart that day and watered it for many years. That morning on November 13th, he watered it, that seedling, just a little bit more. Hearing Carrie, he continued to water. Over the last 10 years, God has placed a mission on my heart to change the lives of 110 million children. I believe that together we can transform life, regardless of their learning disability, to become the leaders they were born to be. I cannot do it alone. I cannot change my own world alone. It takes a village of who's to change the world. The path of listening to Carrie Oberrunner has led me to an amazing woman, Jonalee Zupanczyk. We discovered that we are better together. Together, we are going to change the world. I discovered that changing my world was not enough. I have been called to help you change your world. I cannot do it alone. It takes a village to change the world. And that took 3 minutes and 44 seconds. And then from there, the content that we're using is, as our 3 points are going to be building knowledge, applying skills, transcending lives. And then we're going to talk about the dysgraphia and the dyscalculia. And then our call to action is going to be join the movement. And then we are going to share a story of how we work together to change some kids' lives. And I saw a clap from Estelle.
Yeah. Can you see how she was weaving her own personal experience and story throughout that?
It's even better than what's on the website, isn't it?
Yeah, and it makes you want to connect with her. It makes you want to lean in and say, "I want to know more about how it turned out. I want to know the end of the story. How did it all work out?"
Sure. Well, that's what you do at the end. So I've been studying this thing on how to write the story. Now, Kathy's talking about the hero's journey. I'm taking the hero's journey and putting it into a framework called the story braid, not story brand, because we've talked about that before, but story braid. And the story braid framework was created by Pat Quinn and Pete Vargas. And basically it is a heart story. Then you share the content, the core part of your message. Then you share a call to action. And then you finish with the next level heart story. So that, then that closing heart story for this particular situation is going to be how Jonalee and I have changed the lives of some of the kids that we've shared in our conversations. And it's really going to hopefully be the most powerful presentation I've ever made.
So let me hit the high points again on the story braid. You bring some heart, then the core, then the call to action. And what is after the call to action?
A heart story again, a different heart story. Or okay. Close the beginning.
Okay.
Did I close the beginning of the story enough mm-hmm. so that mm-hmm. I finished up there so I would use a different story at the end? Mm-hmm. And you can learn more about that through Pete Vargas. His 10X Stages program is stage to scale, scale to stage. I get it in the right order. Where that is going. So thank you for listening. Now, I would love some feedback other than claps. Ladies, what are your thoughts on what I said?
Well, first of all, I want to say that it really drew me in again because of the story. And one of the things that I've realized, and of course, folks all around us have realized it, is that stories sell. That's why we all love, you know, these television stories. We love to watch Hallmark, even though we know how it's going to end, but it's a great story. How many of us are avid readers? We read stories all the time. I love mystery romances. Well, they always kind of end the same, you know, boy gets girl, live happily ever after, but, you know, but I love reading the story. I love happy endings and I love reading the story and I love all of the mystery in the middle, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. And so we all love a good story and reality TV. Gosh, how many of us like, you know, join in to watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. We want to see how it's going to turn out. And we're all in the background going, no, don't pick her. Because we get involved in the story. And I think that's what I noticed is that as she was going through that, it allowed me to get involved in her story. So that's what I liked about it. Anyone else?
Yeah, when she was telling her story, I was, I want to hear more.
It makes you lean in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that really kind of drew me in, and I think this would be true for others as well, is when she said, I decided to change. And I wanted to know more. I'm like, you decided? And then, so what did you, how did you do that? That I wanted to know that. And then you ushered us right into what your decision was and what your desire was in terms of the book, even though, and your fear, but overcoming your fear. So it just kind of like, you know, if I was someone that was going to write a book, which at some point in time I will, but I could relate to that. And plus the story that you gave about, you know, things going haywire in your life and many venues.
Well, one of the things I was trying to touch on are the three main areas: health, wealth, and relationships. So I was trying to hit all of those things to pull that whole community together, because one of the things that I'd like to do, like Kathy has done, is to be able to pull that out. And when I do that content section, I would like this presentation to be able to be used, this introduction to be used for women's groups, churches, teachers, therapists. So I've been looking at how to expand beyond just the teacher world.
Which expands your audience.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I get that. No, I think that's great. Thinking. That's great strategy. Debbie, your thoughts on her story?
Well, first off, I would like to ask, you said health, wealth, and relationships. Was that the three? Okay, perfect. I got the feeling that it came from your heart. You were true to what your feelings and what you heard. You didn't poo it, you stayed with it. And like Estelle, I wanted to hear more. I wanted to hear the rest of the story. But did I understand this is not on your website?
Not yet. I have a different version. I think this was the cleanest I've ever wrote it. I haven't put it on the website at this point. Not that I'm not going to say that I will, but I'm in the middle of a huge 3 weeks in my life and I've been challenged to do some writing. So I'm doing the writing part now and just haven't made it to the world of social.
Okay, so my next question is, what I heard was the point that I was missing for me in how you intertwined what you heard and at what point you heard and what you did with it, and you noted it, how you put a place where a reference where people can go see it for themselves. And I can see where putting that on your website would be showing people to know, like, and trust you completely. That would, hands down, would be what a person when reading that is going to say, yes, that is exactly what I needed to hear. And Estelle said the same thing. So I agree with that. And that's all.
Good points. Great points. Yes, I love that. Elise, how about you?
Same thing. I thought that the story was really heartfelt. I wanted to lean in, learn more, and really understand exactly what you were talking about, because you're already a part of it. So you know what you're talking about. It leads me to believe that you do have heart and care for what you're doing, because you know you have those personal examples. You have how we're looking to change the world, and look, you can't do this alone. So like, as a community, what you're trying to build, you know, it gives me that feel of like, you know, I couldn't do this alone. So let's all band together to make the leaders for tomorrow, just like you were saying. So I thought your message was nice.
Great. Sherry, back to you. What are you thinking?
Of course, you guys haven't heard the whole story, but I mentioned in there about being in a huge arena. And arena was... I want to say Bryce Jordan Center, but that doesn't mean anything to you guys. Sovereign Center doesn't mean anything to you guys. I have no idea what's out in Ohio to be able to relate that, but like a basketball stadium or a hockey mm-hmm. stadium, you know, professional indoor stadium. Mm-hmm. And one of my dreams is to be... I know it sounds like, what in the world is going on with you, Sherry? But one of my dreams is to do 1 year where I am touring with Winter Jam and being the keynote speaker at that event.
Okay.
Hang on to that, Sherry. It's going to happen. I can see you going that direction.
Put it on your vision board.
Yep. Now, there's a difference between desire and possession. Yep. You can desire something and you can possess something. So you have to start living as if you are already possessing it. And right. let me tell you this. Ruth and I had quite a conversation about epigenetics. And if nobody has heard of epigenetics, write down the word epigenetics. I'm not sure how to spell it, but write down epigenetics. And it is where when you start thinking a certain way, your brain doesn't know the difference as to whether it's a dream or a reality. And it actually changes the pathway in your brain to make it a reality.
Okay.
Yeah, somebody's got cold hands. I saw Debbie jump. Hi. Debbie, you've got rabbit ears for a second.
That's my son.
I love it.
Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Don't mind me. I'm just making my my weekly stop out of my parents' house.
Yeah, all right, go ahead and love on mom.
That's yep. right. That's right. Yeah, rub that in.
I love it.
Save that for later.
So anyway, think about epigenetics.
Is it epigenetics or epigenetics?
I don't know.
I think
that's
it's epigenetics.
E-P-I.
Yeah. Yep. I left out the T. That's not correct. What I just put in the chat is not correct. I left out a T, and I think the second I should be an E. I'm not sure how to spell it.
E-P. What'd you say, Sherry? E-P-I.
Hold on. I'm going to get it for sure.
This is a detail woman over here.
But the point is that when you start embracing it as a reality, whatever it is your dream is, it changes the pathways in your brain to where it becomes a reality. And this is biblical proof when we talk about how, you know, God spoke something and there it was. He created it. We can create things in our lives. Epigenetics. Yeah. Anyway, we can create things in our lives that we want or scenarios that we want to have happen just by embracing them as reality, that they're already happening. I remember when we drove by the house that we're in and there was no for sale sign in front of the house. And we were on our way to go to dinner with some friends. And so when we came back from dinner, we came back past this house and there was a for sale sign that wasn't there when we went by it the first time. And we were like, oh, that house is for sale. And we'd been kind of looking for a house. Mark and I wanted a house for the two of us that neither one of us had lived in before, because he had lived with me at my condo and then I'd lived with him in his duplex. And we wanted to have an our house instead of a my house or his house. And so we started looking and nothing really tapped our toe. I mean, I went after a couple pretty hot and heavy that I thought was going to be perfect, and we didn't get them. So when we drove past this one, we both said, that's the one. That's the one. Well, we both, and we didn't know each other was doing it. I would come over and, because the house was vacant, I would come over and sit in the driveway and pretend that it was my house, that I lived there. Mark was doing the same thing, but I didn't know he was doing it. And he didn't know I was doing it. We both were in the driveway at different times, visualizing ourselves living in this house. And 10 days later, we were at the closing table.
Can I just add a story to that?
Yes.
When Rick and I bought, before we bought the first 6 acres, I used to drive out here during the day and go way up in the back in the area and just sit in my lounge chair and just visualize the house and anything else. And that's kind of funny that you say that, uh-huh. You know, because I used to do that.
And it happened and you now live there.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we can create our own reality, but we have to get outside ourselves, but we can create the reality that we want. And Sherry is a perfect example of doing that. When you see where she started and where she is today, her membership site, I can't believe the downloads that she's getting and the people that are signing through. I mean, it's just, are you kind of surprised too, Sherry? It's just kind of, it's so nice to watch as your business is just kind of taking on a life of its own. But she has been pushing on that rock for some time. You know, I always use the analogy that you push on the rock up the hill and you push and push and push. And finally, at some point you get to the top of the hill and the rock starts down the other side and it picks up speed without you. You have to get out of your own way at that point and let it pick up speed. But take the time that you're pushing the rock up the hill to get all your systems in place. And what I've noticed about Sherry more than anything else, what really stands out head and shoulders to me above everything else, is that Sherry is always, always, always looking at how to perfect her business and how to tweak it and how, you know, how to make it more in to go in what direction she wants it to go in. And she's constantly, as she's pushing that rock up the hill, she's constantly adjusting one way or the other to make it go where she wants it to go.
There have been a lot of switchbacks.
I know. But you know what? What I've noticed is that you're willing to put in the hard work. And so what I'm saying here is that as you're putting in the hard work at the beginning, going up the hill, get your systems in place, because when it picks up speed going down the other side, that's where most businesses fail. You know why? They don't have the systems in place to handle the volume of customers that are coming at them, and they end up folding and going out of business. Most businesses,
that is a concern, you know, as things go. Debbie, it's sherrydotterer.com.
Oh.
So that's most easy. Businesses do not fail while the inventor of the business is pushing the rock up the hill. Most businesses fail when the rock starts down the hill and picks up speed without them, because they don't have the foundation. Mm-hmm. And that's why you've got to get your foundation in place and start putting your systems in place on how you're going to handle this volume of clients.
Yeah. So one thing I'm doing right now is I'm learning how to make sure that the systems are all in place. Looking back through all of the automations of things that I'm working on, creating a CRM system, creating an SMS system, and looking at the systems that I'm looking at. And so I'm taking a business course right now that is like very intense for 3 weeks. And one of the things that they talk about is from marketing through sales. And just this one, a little tidbit that I want to share on what they recommended or what they suggested is you have a target number of dollars that you want to make by the end of the year. And you divide that by a dollar. And that's how many people you need to reach in a year to get that amount. And then you can create another system that's $10 and you look for the same figure. And if you create 10 systems at $100,000, you've just made $1 million in 1 year. I know that sounds very overwhelming, but then they talk about reverse engineering that. And how many people do you have to talk to in a day to do like one of those? And it's a little bit overwhelming, but I need to reach out to 350 people every day, working day, to meet my target this year. So I am asking you girls to help me keep my target in mind. Oh, we got somebody coming that's a Samsung.
No, that's me. Okay. Mark has an appointment. And so I wanted to join on with my phone. So in case I had to leave here, I could still be on the call.
I got it. So think about that. Looking at your business, Debbie, what is your target of what you want to make in your Melaleuca? And then divide that by the number of working days in a year, which I was told is 261, by the way. Okay. And that's how many people you actually physically have to contact if you want to make $100,000 in your business or your Melaleuca alone. And then everything in each one of the lanes is different. So that little practical numbers game was like blowing my mind, because I have to contact 350 people every day and I am not doing anywhere near that. Talk about systems.
What CRM system did you come up with?
Oh, my son has created it. I have no idea. He's doing the back end stuff and I am sure that he won't create another one without charging for the person for the time, because it isn't the easiest thing. But the CRMs that I can find out there are $150 a month. And I was like, I can't afford that right now. Mm-hmm. And to get my certification with the American Occupational Therapy Association, I needed to have a CRM. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, I think I found one here. I'm like, and we
he
think
found
we
one a, or he created one.
He created one.
Okay.
And yeah, you can do a spreadsheet, but I was finding the spreadsheet, I would screw it up. So a spreadsheet wasn't working. Mm-hmm. He also is, we're also working on an SMS system that is going to be a whole lot less than what a lot of them are too.
And tell me what an SMS
file is. That works for me.
And he's loving it and getting development for his own stuff. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
What was the second point you were going to talk about? You said, you know, once you did that, didn't you say you had a second thing you were going to do? Yes.
Can I jump in real quick? I have a hard stop today. You don't have to get off the call, but I have a hard stop today because Mark has an eye doctor and he needs me to drive him home. So I have to go with him so that I can drive him back after he has
a procedure. That's right. I should have a hard stop shortly too.
And so I'm going to actually turn it over to Sherry to finish her comment to answer Debbie's question. But if for some reason you lose me, feel free. Sherry, do you have the option when you highlight over the screen to end the call? Do you have the option to do that as a co-host?
And will it record? Will it save the recording?
Yes. Yes, it's recording now. Do you have
it just says leave meeting, but I think once you are gone, it'll give me the leave meeting for all.
Okay. Anyway, I want to say that I'm going to try to stay on with my phone, but I don't know if it'll let me, but this is me that you see, the Samsung. That's me on my phone. That's my phone tapped in. I just don't know, since I'm on both, if it'll let me hear you after I walk away from my computer. But anyway, so I'm just going to leave my computer on and I'm going to walk away and get my coat and we're going to get in the car and head toward his eye doctor appointment. And hopefully once I get far enough away from my computer, I'll be able to turn on my audio and still talk. But if not, I'll turn it over to Sherry. So Sherry, I'll let you go ahead and answer Debbie's question.
I don't remember what I was saying, so I'm not sure I can.
Bye, Kathy.
So relate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know, because it was at the same time you noticed that Kathy was logging in with her phone.
Yeah.
So, but that's okay. That's okay. I would like to be in touch with you.
So systems, really creating systems in place, and the aha moment on mathematics. My target this year is $100,000. And if I'm just bringing people into my community, that's one, that system right there, I need to contact 350 people a day. Talk about being a little bit overwhelming.
It's the way that you would connect with 350 people a day. Are those 350 new people or just 350, you know, like sometimes you contact somebody and you don't get a response.
And we're talking about conversations.
What would happen?
350 conversations in one day. Yeah.
I see a blog that's
a lot. That's a lot. Realistically, I am looking at reaching out to 10 to 20. I'm going to start there and physically make emails and phone calls and such. Creating and growing prospective database with all the links that go with it. So thinking about your systems and where you're at and where you can go. Those are some thoughts. But I am also looking at diversifying and getting away from being so hardcore dysgraphia, because my message is beyond that.
Sherry, are you on LinkedIn?
Yeah, all the time.
Well, don't you feel as though you have connections with probably thousands. Wouldn't it classify or fitting that picture if you made like a different post a day, just one that might create curiosity for someone to connect with you?
Yeah, but they are talking about calls. This is all in addition to social media posts and stuff like that. They are talking about calls.
No one can do that. I mean, that's
why you hire people to help you with sales.
Yeah, if you have a team.
Right, exactly. That's the only way. There's no way. I mean, but you were right. 10 to 20 a day is a good way.
So
that's a good number.
To get your
so feet. So I am hoping that when I get in front of groups of multiple people that. So that's the idea there is by getting in front of groups and getting out there speaking and sharing the message, that's considered that number of calls for the week. So one of this event that I'm speaking at in July is 1400 people. This is the most I've ever spoken to.
A whole week of people that yeah. you'd be talking to.
Yep. So how did you get that invitation?
They called me.
Awesome. Now,
call me.
What did they use as reference to get connect with you?
I did a free interview on a podcast and she heard me and they were looking for my topic and they're looking for the topic that John and Lee and I both speak on. And I ended up getting us both as keynote speakers and a breakout session. So we have one keynote, the two of us, and we're each doing a breakout.
That's awesome. That's amazing.
So my mission is to get on 12 live stages like that this year. And then by 2025, I want to get on that big stadium as my Esther book comes out. And I've been working on some of the content inside there on how that's going to look. I have to actually write the story, though, that it's logical, because right now it's in pieces. When I get to that story, that'll open up a different avenue of contact.
Now, why did you choose Esther?
Esther's my hero.
Well, the reason I asked is that is because my mom's was named Esther from the Bible, and so was I. And when you mentioned that, I was looking at doing mine, but that has become very difficult. Because there's not much written about her, Deborah, in the Bible, just a snippet.
If you go digging, you don't have to dig in. I went outside the Bible. I went looking on every historical, archaeological thing that I could find. I have so much information about what they have found out archaeologically about Esther. You can do the same thing for Deborah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I've heard people, there's books out there that tell stories about women in the Bible.
Yeah, I have several of them. Mm-hmm. In fact, I just got, at Christmas time, I got a from one of the Faithway or anyways, it's a 30-day Bible study on Esther. And it's like, it blows my mind because some things I didn't even realize.
Send me the ISBN or the cover or something that I know I can look at which one you have there. Cause I've read some things, but I've been trying not to get my message swayed by somebody else, but historically, or archaeologically, I should say it that way, they have found that Artaxerxes had a learning disability, which is really? a fact.
And of course, back then they didn't have that knowledge.
He had a genetic disorder, and it's kind of the things that are fact, and then I'm adding story to it, so. Mm-hmm. So, Elise, what are your thoughts?
I think that it can be super hard to try and figure out what you're trying to do with everything story-wise and where you want to put everything together and who you want to model after and how you want to do everything. So I know for sure that, me personally, when I'm in here listening and just trying to kind of refine my message and things like that, thoughts going is just, man, I got a lot of work to do. But on the other side of that, I also just recognize that as you perfect that story and as you really figure out where you're trying to speak from, it flows a little bit easier. So it's just been really interesting listening to everybody's views and where we're trying to go with everything and just seeing where everyone is in those steps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where Kathy is, but I'd love for one of you guys to share that heart, like introduction some point to your next presentation. So there's my challenge, Kathy. So I don't know for sure with you still having your computer on, whether we can, it'll shut off, but you may end up having this Zoom open to your account, Kathy, after we all hang up. But let me go around the room and just do a closing. Any closing thoughts there, Miss Estella?
Two. Number one was just the importance of getting this story, my story out there and taking the time to do it, how important it is. And just, I really appreciate, you know, I know Kathy's done her story numerous times, but every time she does it, another layer on the onion peels back. Hearing your story was very invigorating for me in terms of go ahead and try it. You know, just go ahead and try it.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And then hearing you talk about getting those systems in place, I'm like, I don't even know what systems. You know, you kind of don't know what systems to put in place, but it's extremely time consuming. And when you're trying to, quote unquote, make money and put systems in place, the systems go by the wayside, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. but they're important if you want to scale.
Yeah,
so,
they are.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Any other closing thoughts, Elise?
I completely agree. With Estella, and I definitely, when Kathy was talking about, you know, pushing the rock up the hill, I feel like I am pushing a 3-ton boulder up this little puppy right now. I'm in my boots working through there, but I look forward to, and I'm also excited for the day when it kind of does start to turn over, when you do get to the point where it just starts to do things for itself. But I completely agree with Estella that when you're trying to make money and you're trying to do all of these things, that sometimes those systems can fall by the wayside. But I definitely have learned my lesson, and watching those who have not had who haven't had systems, or working with some of my clients that may not have all their systems set up and they've scaled beyond what they can do without systems. And I'm like, y'all, let's get this together. So it's extremely eye-opening. But it's such a beautiful process to know that, like, even though you may be still pushing that rock, that everyone's been there, everyone is either going to be there, you know, and that you're not alone. So good moments.
Mm-hmm. You talk about,
I'm in the car driving. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, you can, Kathy.
Yes. I'm in the car driving. I just want to say I'm listening in. Great conversation. So, Sherry, I heard what you said earlier. Once you end the call, I have no idea because I left my computer on back at the house. So if it does continue on, not a problem. I'll just clip the end of it where there's nothing going on. I'll just clip it off before I upload it into the platform. So we're all good, and I'm going to continue listening.
Cool. And then I had this brain comment that was going through my head when you were talking about the mountain. My daughter is a meteorologist, and I'm thinking about Mount Washington. I don't know if anybody has ever been over in Vermont, New Hampshire. I'm not sure which one it's in, to Mount Washington. Mm-hmm. Well, pushing that boulder up Mount Washington, or Everest or Kilimanjaro, it feels like you'll never get to the top. But once you're at the top, look out, because the only way to go is out over the world. Mm. So,
maybe. And going back to that is one of the things that Kathy kept saying about for you is that, and we definitely see it for her, is it's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of hard work, which, you know, again, it's parceling out stuff so that, and I think for me, it's getting my schedule together so that I'm time blocking and doing things, making sure things get, I have time for
everything,
time to work on the business and time to work in the business, which absolutely. Time to work on the business is more important than working in the business, but working in the business brings the income.
Yeah. Debbie, you sent me the ISBN, but what's the name, title of the book?
Esther.
Oh, is that it?
Yep.
Because when I brought it up, it brought up all of John Maxwell's books. And I was like, okay, which one is it? All right. I will see if I can find it. All right. Any thought, last minute thoughts from you there, Debbie?
Just one other thing. It's called the New King James Version Bible Journal, Esther.
Okay.
And it's just a very thin book. It's like, it's 36 pages with a lot of pages for notes. So it's very simple.
All right.
For me, I'll join in the, with Estelle and Elise. I'm sitting here. I've been, you know, one chunk at a time each day. And I'm more at the place where I can keep a schedule or keep a daily plan of what I'm going to do so that by the end of the week, I don't hit Friday and say, I didn't do anything. But I got to make it measurable for me. Yes. You know, it's not something that, I mean, Kathy, she's got her pretty much set. She knows what she does once a week. And so somebody helped me a week ago with categorizing, or I wrote down everything that I'm doing, and she made me sit there and look at it. And she, you know, okay, what's the number one thing? And I put it on the list. And that was my job, because that's where I make my income. And mm-hmm. and then we would go down and she goes, okay, tell me one you can put aside for now for like the next 6 months. And we did that with everything. And honestly, it took a lot of weight off my shoulder. And it just made me realize that I can't do everything at once. So if I work on things for the next 6 months, I'll put my limit to 6 months, then, okay, well then by that time, I'll have things better in better control where I can incorporate something into there that I really enjoy. And boy, this is making a whole lot of sense. And I'm just talking. But, that's kind of where I'm at right now. And I want to read Sherry's story again, what you have so far. I want to read it again. And so maybe you can email it to us. Because it has such a format that, like Kathy's on her website, it's got a great format, which I didn't think about before. And And again, it lays things out into more perspective than just looking at a blank piece of paper and going, okay, now what? And how many of us do that all the time?
All the time.
Yeah, we do it all the time. And I got to stop that. I've got to stop wasting time. So, you know, I have this little timer, looks like a, I don't know. Well, it came out of kitchens at Hobby Lobby. So I'm able to use that to, okay, I got 15 minutes to go through my email, ditch what I don't want. And if it's something I need to look at right now, okay. And if it's not, then I'll go back to it later in the day. So, you know, that's my two cents worth.
All right. I put two links in the chat. The first one, Debbie, if you click on that, is that the right book?
Okay, I'll look.
And then the second one is a OneDrive link to what I'm writing.
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
And go for the 12 new for $5.99, because I only paid $4 for mine, but it was on sale at Christmas time. So what was the second one?
That's my OneDrive link to the thing that I'm writing or that I just read.
Oh, cool. I clicked on it. So, and it's in Word.
It's in Word. There it is. Yeah.
Perfect. Got it.
So hopefully it'll open up for you.
It did.
All right. Anything final, Kathy?
No, great conversation. I just want to mention to Debbie is that link on Amazon, because I can't see my screen. I'm just listening in. Is the link Debbie posted Amazon?
The Sherry link posted as Amazon was to the Esther journal that she is talking about.
All right, Debbie, you should have an affiliate link, because as we buy that, you would get paid. Just saying.
One of the things about affiliate links is I had one and I didn't have enough volume. And because I didn't have enough volume, they canceled me. So you really do need to have followers that are actually using the link to make that affiliate work.
Okay.
That is correct.
Definitely. And the other link is,
Kathy, is what I just read to you this morning.
Perfect.
All right.
Cool. Thanks, Sherry. You did a great job.
Oh, yes. You're welcome. All right. I am going to stop the recording and then log us out of the room unless anybody has anything else to say.
Not right at the moment, but this was valuable. Thank you. And Kathy. Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. And thank you everyone
gave their feedback.
Thank you everyone for your feedback.
All right. So love you.
Good luck at the doctor.
Thank you.
Call me, Elise.
Yes.